Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm using the text of the Mass readings today from Magnificat magazine, and I am struck by the fact that the opening prayer today is the same as yesterday. I don't know if that's a misprint or if, in fact, that is it, but I'm going to take advantage of it and have us take a look again at this prayer that we prayed yesterday. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. God's name, brothers and sisters, God's name has power. It has infinite power, the very name of Jesus. And when we say that name reverently, when we say that name as we call upon the Lord with love for him, not just through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know how we can get into such a habit and a pattern, but we say that name with reverence. We need to reinstall in our minds and our hearts the willingness to bow at the name of Jesus, to bow our head at the name of Jesus. Many years ago, and I know in years past I've told this story, but it was a most powerful one for me. I was out walking one morning. This was years ago. I was at Franciscan University, and I was just walking in the town of Steubenville up in a neighborhood. And I love dogs. And over the bank, you know, a grassy bank of a whole section of homes, comes these two dogs. And I just saw them coming, but it was fine with me. I like them. I'm not afraid of them. But I kept on walking. But as we got closer, this one dog, I realized there was one following behind him, but the lead dog was growling. And I just thought, well, he's growling at something. And I just kept going, bringing me closer to him. And then as I got really close to him, I could see that for one reason or another, his temper was in high gear and he was mad. And so I moved from the sidewalk. It was just, the street was pretty empty. I just moved from the sidewalk out into the street to avoid him because I thought, well, maybe I'm on his territory and he's really reacting to that. And as I went out into the street, he came after me. My first thought was, oh my gosh, how much is this going to hurt? Honestly, that was my first thought because I didn't know how to get away from him. And if I ran, that would really excite him. So I was just trying to move away from him and just stay at the same pace. And he came right up to me and I said, out of my mouth came these words, in the name of Jesus, stop. That dog went down on all four legs and rolled over on his back and started to whimper. There's power in the name of Jesus. I was stunned. But there was power in the name of Jesus. So I kept moving away, but I just kept saying, in Jesus' name. And he got up and walked away. The other dog just kind of ambled with him. He walked totally away from me, like he had been stunned in some way. And I think he had been. A neighbor saw me and said, oh my goodness, when I saw what was happening, I was going to run inside and call the ambulance because I was afraid you were going to be torn to pieces. She said, what happened? And I was too flustered at the moment. I just said, well, God spared me, or something like that. I didn't tell her what actually happened. I was just too befuddled. But I give you that homespun example to say there is power in the name of Jesus. Speak that name with love. Speak that name with reverence. Call upon him when you are in trouble. The first reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Could Paul say that of you? We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. I'm living in this way. I'm marked. They're just marks on me. I pray for others. I stand in faith. I have love for everyone. Are you clearly a Christian? Would those marks be identifiable with you? Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth. As you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can affect that kind of love and unity. Do we pray to him? Do we ask him for it? Do we believe that our prayer is heard? Do we believe that God will answer when we come to him in sincerity and truth? Do we believe that, yes, we need to ask according to his will? Lord, this is what I think I need, but I ask for it. But if it's not your will, then show me what is your will. Don't be afraid to enter into a relationship. It's there for you. Once baptized, there is a relationship with God for you. And it's personal as well as communal. Psalm 52, I trust in the mercy of God forever. Do you? Can you say those words authentically? Or do you say, I want to trust in the mercy of God forever? That's probably more accurate at the moment in our lives. But we want to come to the place where we can say, I trust in God. I trust in his mercy. This situation is difficult. I've commended it to his care. I pray to him every day. I ask him to help me. I can trust that he will do for me what is best. Are you at that place? If not, ask God for that kind of trust. And the gospel today, the gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them. Remember what I told you yesterday? He rebuked him because he was speaking a truth, but he was speaking with evil intent. Satan is evil, and he'll use a truth if he can get you more caught into his clutches and then lead you astray. That's why Jesus rebuked him and did not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. This was a whole set of demons. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, to the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. People wanted him to stay with them. He was a miracle worker. Who wouldn't want a miracle worker around? But Jesus said, no, it is not the Father's will that I just stay with you. I must go to all the towns and all the villages and preach. Preach the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, do we have zeal in our own situations, our own geographical circumstances, our own neighborhoods, our parishes, different groups that we may be part of? Are we willing to preach the gospel? And I don't mean standing up and preaching and trying to get a captive audience to listen. That doesn't work. But does my life preach the good news? When people listen to me talk, which is a big area, people listen to me talk, do they recognize a different set of priorities than the world has? Do they recognize a love for Jesus and a willingness to obey him? Do they have an eternal perspective? In other words, as one saint put it, what is this? Meaning today's situation, this circumstance, this interaction, this conversation, whatever happens in the course of a day, what is this in light of eternity? What does God want me to do with this set of circumstances that at this moment has come into my life in light of the fact that whoever I'm interacting with and I are going to live forever? How am I going to handle this situation? We've got to have an eternal perspective. Live in this world, participate in this world, but this world is not the end. This world is a stepping stone to heaven or to hell. It's why it's important, brothers and sisters, to have an eternal perspective. I think it was St. Alphonsus who said, what is this? Meaning, what is this set of circumstances right now, today, at this moment? What is this in light of eternity? Is it important in light of eternity? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Or whatever the case may be. Am I responding to this situation in a good way? That is, in light of eternity. Because it's our every thought and word and action that builds a case either for us or against us. Am I truly a Christian? Or am I Christian, Catholic, in name only? In name only. Do I just wear the, so to speak, the cloak of being Christian? Or am I truly, from the inside out, a truly Christian, Catholic man or woman? We need to answer that question, brothers and sisters, quickly. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.